hate it when Chris is wrong. It makes me so angry. He tells me this information right before we go on just to fire me up for the third and final hour of the Lowdown. We thank you so much for being with us. Jason Ross, Damian Barling here. You can listen on the radio.com app. Download it. You can listen to us anywhere, anywhere in the entire world. When you go on vacation, you can listen to us. You don't want to miss your daily dose of the Lowdown from 12 to 3, 3 to 6 Eastern. We got you covered. You can also listen on KHTK.com, TuneIn app. You can subscribe to the Lowdown podcast on iTunes and like us on Facebook. We need likes. Even if you don't like Facebook, like us on Facebook. Goes a long way. I wrote a review about WWE Hell in a Cell last night. Get some of my thoughts on that event. And, well, you got some thoughts on the King. I'm trying to find a positive spin. Like, hey, let's lead in. We'll get back to football here real quick, but let's just give you some valuable information on the Kings-Lakers last night. That was not fun.
Yeah, there's no takeaway per se from last night to me. It's just the best thing is that it was preseason and it didn't matter. And what I was trying to say last night, and Henry said it too, the good thing about what happened last night is that is going to happen during the regular season. There'll be a night where you just can't make shots. I mean, you have to – so they have to learn how to go through that. You hope that's not a regular thing, but that's a reality of playing 82 games. It'll happen to you. It just was – it was ugly. They never got into an offensive groove. Nobody really played very well. And I know Coach is taking, you know, 4 and 5 guys out of the mix to make it easier for them. I think there were 4, you would think, rotational-type guys that didn't play last night. I'd assume they would play tonight. So he's still trying to find the group that he's going to be most comfortable with to start the season. But last night was ugly, and the best thing about it was preseason, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, it was really ugly, particularly that first half. That first half was not fun to watch. But again, it doesn't matter.
No.
Like, the first game at the Golden 1 Center was really fun. It was really exciting. Guess what? The game didn't matter either.
Nope.
Second game, they lost to San Antonio in San Antonio. Guess what? Doesn't matter.
Week from Wednesday matters.
It's all about Coach Dave Yeager and that coaching staff, Elston Turner, and everybody else trying to get a feel for what they want to do with the roster moving forward. We did mention this. You weren't here on Friday about Harry Giles. What do you think about that? They're going to hold him out until January. For those who may have missed that, I'm sure Kings fans didn't. But just to recap a little bit, he's going to be doing all of his prehab, rehab, all of that stuff here. He's going to be around the team the entire first half of the season. They're going to hold him out from most live action until January.
He's practicing,
right?
Though,
he's practicing, but is he doing the full 5-on-5 scrimmages?
As I heard, he was. What's interesting about this? I'm going to trust them. Obviously, they know more about him, his health, and all that medically, which is the most important thing of all of this. But boy, they're being careful, and that's fine. It's just, we all can hear what was said about him. Like, this guy would have been the number one pick in the draft or had that kind of potential. Could be the best player in this draft when all is said and done, if all things go right. So you know that's out there. That's a potential high ceiling of what it could be. And then really took it easy with him in Vegas. They've taken it easy with him in the preseason. Now we hear he's not going to play really till January. If at all, then at least kind of be clear to really go. I'm just anxious to see what he really is. You know, Paige said he reminds me of Chris Webber. I mean, all these things are so exciting, yet we're not going to be able to see it just yet. So, hey, we can all wait if all those things hold up to be true. It's just you kind of want to see it.
And if I recall correctly, DC came in here raving about watching him play one day.
Yeah.
So it's
I think it's pretty consensus.
I think the other thing to keep in mind, you mentioned, he'll be able to go in January if he decides to go. I think that a lot of that would depend on the type of flow that the team is in.
Oh, that's probably true. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if they're a little disjointed at that point and they're still kind of searching, trying to figure things out, if that's just like a year-long process, then I imagine he'll be a part of that. But if they're in a good swing of things, I'm not talking about winning, a bulk of their games. I'm talking about your as a coach, you're seeing the continuity that you want. You're seeing the things from your young point guard, your second year players. You're seeing the things from them that you want. Then that may also affect whether he comes back on the main roster.
Yeah, and so I think now you're in a situation where you're just trying to get as much intel, not only on him, but on this entire roster. And that's what practice has been about. That's what training camp's been about. That's what these games have been about. And I was asking this question to Henry last night, and I don't know, maybe it's obviously a question for Dave Yeager, but I wonder if he knows at this moment who his opening night starting lineup is going to be. Now, he's changed it every game so far, which is fine in the preseason, but I wonder if he knows. Like, if he says, yeah, I got it. I know who I'm starting.
I don't think he does.
He doesn't have to tell us. I just mean, I wonder if he knows.
With absolutely zero knowledge, I don't think he does.
Yeah.
And I think that's what tonight's for. There's three games in the next 4 days, yeah. 5 days. There's three games in the next 5 days. Like I think I still very much believe he's evaluating a lot.
I agree.
And I think it not only is he evaluating who the first five are, I think he's evaluating who the first seven are.
Yeah.
And that's like, I think, an underrated thing, because we're always so focused on who the starting five are,
right.
who the starting five are. Well, a lot of times that sixth player is in the final 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times the sixth and seventh player are in those final minutes. And so watching who the Kings' top seven turn out to be, I think is what he's really looking at over the course of the, you know, it's a busy week for the Kings.
Well, and I think last year what we learned too was that you can have situations where you find combinations that work better together, like even off the bench. Ty Lawson and Willie Cauley-Stein had a thing. Like that just kind of developed. And then we saw Collison and Willie Cauley-Stein get comfortable. But I think that was something like, all right, that looks good with that second group. Well, I don't know that he's found that yet either. And, you know, there's still time to sort it all out.
And it'll start tonight.
Yeah.
Golden 1 Center. The Trailblazers are here. Dame Dolla dropped another good album. He can go. He dropped another good CD on Friday. That's Dame Lillard. He'll be here, not rapping, but playing basketball with the Portland Trailblazers at the Golden 1 Center. If you do not have a ticket to the game, this preseason game is on television.
Yes.
And, of course, you can always get the game here on Sports 1140. Game starts at 7. Jay Ross back at 6:30 with Kings Live. We'll get into some things we got right, the things we got wrong. And we'll lead off, Jason, with the game that we actually haven't talked about yet. Surprisingly, given I think it was one of the higher caliber games of the weekend, despite it being low scoring, Russell Wilson passed for 198 yards and a touchdown. Earl Thomas showed why he's a Hall of Famer, future Hall of Famer, forced two turnovers. Jared Goff was on the verge. Him and Jameis Winston were both on the verge of having that true breakout moment at the end of a game, and it didn't come, and the Seahawks wound up beating the Rams in a, I guess, just kind of a slugfest.
Yeah, in a Seattle-type game, right?
The way very much so.
And to me, this is what I had been saying about the Rams. I'm impressed with what they've done. I don't think this derails them any bit. They look as good, as competitive with Seattle, but I just think of the what if. What if they found a way to win? Now you're talking about them at 4-1 with that other group of teams in the NFC at 4-1. You push Seattle back. You have cushion in the division. Again, I don't think they're going to kick themselves necessarily for this game because they showed they can play. But that's at home. I think they had a few more fit. Like, there was actually a good energy there. It was kind of the what if game for me for the Rams.
Not for me. I like your scenario that you just laid out. What if they had won? But I've been really high on the Rams, and I think this validated it.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't derail them where they're going, I don't think.
So while I think them winning would have been really...
been a big statement.
It would have been eye-popping.
Yeah.
Because now you're talking about the Los Angeles Rams in the same category that you're talking about the suddenly back to Super Bowl form Carolina Panthers. You're talking about them in the same breath as... the Green Bay Packers when you're talking about the class of the NFC. But coming out of that game, I still fully believe in them. And Jared Goff had that moment there at the end, just like we were talking about on Friday after Jameis Winston's performance against the New England Patriots. To take that next step, that's the one you got to complete. And I know the drop touchdown was a conversation today. That was a hell of a attempt there by Cooper, but still had one more down to get it. Just couldn't make it happen. But I still love what I saw out of the Rams. Wasn't the best game from Todd Gurley. Wasn't the best game from Jared Goff. You mentioned. I think you laid it out perfectly, Jason. It was a Seahawks game
that they nearly won,
and they were right there in it. They had the ball last. They had the opportunity to win. So where they go now, this might be the more interesting storyline, Jason, is now that they've lost, now what? Now that they've lost to Seattle, because this game, when you saw, they put up 40 against Cleveland, put up 40 against, or San Francisco, put up 40 against Indy, put up some big numbers against the Cowboys. All right, they got Seattle coming up. Now, okay, let's see if they're for real. Okay, well, they lost. They certainly weren't humiliated. Where now? Where now for the Los Angeles Rams?
Yeah.
Since I'm in a braggadocious type of mood, I'll stick with one more thing that I got right because this is probably it for me. And I said this earlier, so I won't expand much on it. I'm big on the Eagles. They just continue to be good. I know they beat a bad Cardinals team, and I'm fine with that. But it was great to see Torrey Smith, because the question I posed to you last week is, they've been doing all of this basically without Torrey Smith and Alshon Jeffrey. What if Torrey Smith and Alshon Jeffrey wind up getting more involved? And I don't, we joked that Jason Pierre-Paul said before the season about the New York Giants, I don't know where our weakness is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for the Philadelphia Eagles, I don't know exactly what their weakness is. They got a solid run game. Carson Wentz is fantastic. Their defense is good. They have a lot of things clicking for them.
Really good balance. They remind me of the Chiefs in a sense of the balance, right? Of maybe not as explosive, but and their one loss is to Kansas City. So I just like how their depth all the way across the board for Philadelphia.
Since we're the Raiders flagship station, we'll get to the Raiders. I was wrong about them. I thought for sure, even without Derek Carr, that they would be able to beat the Baltimore Ravens. I didn't think the Baltimore Ravens were good leading in. I still don't think the Baltimore Ravens are good now. I will never acknowledge, even if they win the next 10 games, that the Baltimore Ravens are good. If the Baltimore Ravens will win the Super Bowl, I'll say a crappy team won the Super Bowl. But the Raiders' performance, we spent 20-some-odd minutes trying to dissect the way that they played. And we both kind of agree falling in the hole was falling behind 14 points was their biggest problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just set off a chain of events that it felt like they couldn't recover from. They had the one positive, it felt like the offensive line was better. EJ Manuel proved to be pretty, evasive back there. I do think the line protected him a little bit more. We were having a discussion on the text line earlier about the fact that EJ Manuel was able to scramble a lot, which is why he was untouched in that game. But I do think the offensive line deserves a little bit credit, particularly there in the first half, because we saw Jalen Rashard get away a little bit. We saw Marshawn Lynch get away a little bit. But again, when you fall behind the first, 14 points in the first 4 minutes, you're going to start trying to throw the ball to catch up. And when you go a series without getting points, then you go another series without getting points, and it's like, okay, now the game is shortening and we're still behind. And you have to do something, and they just weren't able to do anything. They were never able to recover after going down from 14-0.
Yeah, this game fit into, like, when we all play armchair coordinator, or this is the play I would call, which you always say when you see a team that's got a great offense like the Raiders, or potentially a great offense like the Raiders, well, what you got to do is keep the ball away from them, make plays, run the ball, eat up the clock. Well, the Ravens did all of that. They had the time of possession in their favor. They ran the ball more effectively. The Raiders ended up making a key mistake early to get that lead to 14 and then chasing the game. It just all added up, put more pressure on EJ Manuel, who played okay. Not great, but okay. And still, at this moment, the biggest mystery to me in this season, maybe season-wide, is what is going on with Amari Cooper. Across the league, really. It's like, okay, we could debate if you're like when Nate Lundy said, why do people think he's elite? I would have argued that one and said he is.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're not even talking about anybody that feels like they're good. I think he's good, right? And now I'm like, what is happening here? This is not a 1 week thing. This is three consecutive weeks, and to be targeted twice with one catch for 8 yards, there is something going on.
Yeah, so where does the blame fall there? Like, is EJ gun shy because he was targeted so much the week before and still, he dropped some passes, not just from EJ Manuel, but he dropped some from Derek Carr as well. He's been dropping passes all year. I think Nate Lundy gives us a stat mm-hmm. that he leads the league in drops. And is the mindset of EJ Manuel going in, well, you can't lead the league in drops if I'm not throwing the ball to you.
Right.
We have so many chicken and egg conversations. Who has to? It's up to EJ Manuel to restore Amari Cooper's confidence, mm-hmm. right? Because he has to throw him the ball. Two targets, one catch, 8 yards. That's not going to restore his confidence. It's probably just going to piss him off.
And even if it's, we always talk about getting the guys, I don't know, they do the jet sweep a lot with Patterson. Get him the ball that way, a quick screen, just something simple, something basic. Even if it just starts out as just a mini little play, and it's like, all right, now he's got two catches for 15 early on, and then you just kind of go from there. But it's a mystery, and I don't think there's anything injury related. I don't think I just think it's something that's hard to figure out.
The offense was bad, thus, I think the defense was so bad. The secondary is, I don't know. I keep thinking maybe they're going to be able to coach their way out of that. I keep thinking maybe they're going to be able to coach their way out of a bad secondary, and they're not.
Yeah.
And last year it was, nope, we didn't coach our way out of a bad secondary.
They just knew they had it.
We just scored more points
right.
than you. Yeah. And with all due respect to EJ Manuel, I don't think he's going to be able to lead them to the same amount of points that Derek Carr is. And when Derek Carr was here, I wasn't fully confident that he was going to be able to do what he did last year in terms of recreating the offense. And I was really high on the Raiders coming into the year. I'm not down on them yet. I mean, they're 2-3. The Raiders are 2-3. The Cowboys are 2-3. Those are two teams that had, you know, pretty good Super Bowl odds headed into the start of this season. And I'm not down on either one of them yet, but I don't know where the turnaround starts for the Raiders, because you can point to we can point to Amari Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we know we're without Derek Carr. Derek Carr might be back on this week. We don't know. And if he is, we don't know what type of shape he's going to be in. But we know that no one is walking through that door who's going to fix the secondary.
Right.
25-year-old Deion Sanders isn't coming. 28-year-old Ronnie Lott's not coming. Like, no one is coming to fix all of the problems that are going on back there. And without that, when you're just left with Khalil Mack to control the entire defense, I don't know what you can do.
I know. It's too bad, because when you have skill players as good, seemingly, as Crabtree, as Cooper, a running game that you think you can do stuff, you would think, you know what, we can survive without Carr. Emmanuel, just function. Manage the game. Get the ball to the playmakers, and it's just something that's just not happening. And then Khalil Mack, you'll see him take on two defenders, hold the edge, do everything he can, and he still needs other guys to help out. I mean, it's just like, where's Khalil? Well, he can't do everything. He literally can't do everything, even though he's trying to.
Raiders are done? Overreaction?
Yeah. Yeah. Overreaction.
Yeah, I think so, too. We'll do a lot of overreactions here in this final hour. We'll try to touch on every single game that went on yesterday. Vikings and the Bears tonight on Monday Night Football, the debut of Mitchell Trubisky. We will talk about all that and give you a quick rundown of the Blazers and Kings as well.
You know what would be interesting to do, it just as an exercise, and we could do it this week or whatever. Just, we picked, obviously, we always do this every year. You pick who you think is going to make the Super Bowl right before. And this is knowledge on hunches, on what we saw in last year, what we think you added, kind of preseason. That's our evaluation. If we kind of did it every 5 weeks, how much do you think that would change? Like, we're 5 weeks in now, and your Super Bowl pick was, what, Seattle?
Was it Oakland? I feel like it was Seattle and Oakland.
Okay. So, I mean, you don't have to change. Would you change it now? And not just, I'm not changing it because that's what I picked. I mean, if you were picking today, would you stick with that, or would you change that?
I don't know that I'd change it, because if you told me,
you know,
I don't know, like, if it, like, 5 weeks in at, you know, 2-3, I just said, you know, the Cowboys and
but you wouldn't have picked the Eagles, let's say. Like, you could maybe now, but you wouldn't have before the season.
No, because I feel like the Eagles would run into either the Seahawks or the Packers in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I would pick in both scenarios.
The other team.
Even if the Eagles exceed every expectation and don't lose another game the rest of the year, when the playoffs come around and Aaron Rodgers, who has made an absolute fool out of Jason Garrett the last several times they've been on the field together, I'm going to pick him to make a fool out of anyone in that position. And I would expect the game to be close, and I would expect the Packers to have the ball last. And anytime the Packers have the ball last, I'm going to bet that Aaron Rodgers wins. So if it's not the Seahawks, I don't know who I would change it to. The Raiders, the same. Like, I'm not going to the Steelers. I hate what the Steelers are doing. I don't buy into the Ravens. Kansas City, I'm not jumping on. I'm going to love watching Kansas City in the preseason, but I'll be damned if I'm jumping on them for the postseason. No way.
Like, because that's what I was saying about Al. Like, if he matches up against Brady, I feel like Brady will beat him.
Right. Right. Right.
Or Ben, even. Like, I think Kansas City may be more complete, maybe the better team right now, but I feel like I know he beat him in the regular season, but if they met in the post, I just feel like that's where it would fall short.
But at the same time, you could tell me, Damien, you just spent 10 minutes talking about how bad their defense is. Yeah. How are they going to go to the Super Bowl? Who am I going to change them to?
Yeah.
Like, I have no idea. And there's not a lot of weaknesses there in Kansas City.
Not at all.
But I don't know about them in the postseason because of the things that you just said. Hey, Mike, what's happening, man?
Hey, you guys. Hey, so I have a question for you guys. Who are the best defensive players on the Raiders right now?
Khalil Mack.
And another Khalil Mack.
Yep, that other Khalil Mack. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, Allen's pretty good too. But let's look at the way they played yesterday. I'm blaming the coaches, because the only reason why is that first down and second down during those series, they never played Mack or Allen. They only put Mack.
That was weird.
They only put Mack in there on third down and fourth.
Okay.
It was like they would only put him in there for little bits and pieces. I mean, it just looked weird out there.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the plays that they've been calling, it's really disappointing as us as Raider fans watching this team. They were good last year. Like, I was listening to you guys a little bit earlier. You were saying that they were playing these games 50% of the time they were winning, and sometimes they'd lose. You guys were hitting it right on the head. We're losing the games that we would have won last year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really sad to see a team go really good that everybody's really high on, all of a sudden just fall down the tubes, and it's like, it's the curse of the Raider fan. It's just, we just are just unhappy. It just sucks.
I've also heard it was the curse of the Marshawn Lynch dance. Everything has gone south since Oakland, though.
And the thing that's weird about it is we just have to watch the coaching. The coaching's being really weird. I don't know.
We appreciate you, Mike, man. Thank you so much. Hang in there. Don't hang your head too low. They're still 2-3. I know the division is really tough. I still like the Raiders moving forward. When I see things like that, he brought up the Khalil Mack situation. I did put that in my notes. I always, like, if I'm a reporter, that's the type of question I ask, because it's one that I genuinely wouldn't be able to figure out. No matter how much football I watch, I would assume that Jack Del Rio has a reason, and that has to be a Jack Del Rio call. I don't care who has the title, the defensive coordinator. That has to be, we're doing this for a reason, and here's that reason.
Yeah.
I would love, that would be, if I was ever in the position where I ask coaches questions, that would be the question. Like, interesting, what was the reasoning behind your strategy with Khalil Mack this week?
Yeah, and he was right. There was a multiple series where he was coming in on the third down only. It's like, okay, rest periodically, whatever, but I didn't get it. I didn't get why your best defensive player should be on the field.
I think you're right about your Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah.
I don't think they're bad. I like their defense. I don't know if their defense is as good as Buffalo, but they force a hell of a lot of turnovers.
Leonard Fournette.
It's your boy. Mm-hmm. Your man crush. Jason's got a man crush. It's 2:23. Time to celebrate the one-year anniversary of Golden One Center. Great events now through October 15th, including Kings Fan Fest. Get details at goldenonecenter.com/anniversary. We'll react and overreact to some more NFL news as we continue here with the lowdown. Get your boy.
I love this first note. You go, dude. The first note.
Okay, this story is way too funny. Okay, please listen closely. We'll get to NFL overreactions here in just a second, or more NFL overreactions. I'm not reporting this story as if it's accurate. I'm reporting this story because it's funny. And so you have the offensive line coach for the Miami Dolphins who resigned after a video surfaced of him partaking in a illicit drug.
Yes.
Okay, so we'd been noting that this whole weekend centered around broken bones, cocaine, and strippers. Well, there's a stripper tied to the cocaine story, and it's that he had it was apparent. this is the funniest sentence ever. Apparently he was having some sort of relationship with the stripper. Now, it's worth noting, because it ties into the story, that apparently my man for the Dolphins has a thing for the Chocolate Thunder. And I'm not talking about Daryl Dawkins. I'm talking about black women. And this was a black woman who did this, and they, whatever, had their little thing. Well, apparently one night he started spouting off about an unemployed quarterback that some of us are advocating to be employed. And she did not take kindly to that, because she is, as they say, woke. Thus the release of the video. Now, again, I have no idea if that story is true, but it's hard to believe that this story actually keeps getting better.
Yeah.
It's just impossible to imagine the stupidity of a person taking a video of themselves doing cocaine and sending it, of all freaking places, to a stripper.
Yeah.
Jason.
From his work in the team.
The freaking Miami Dolphins symbol in the background. Logo. Norton coke off a Dolphins team issue table or something. Yeah. Like, what in the world is... And look, I understand. Like, I can't feel bad. Just the level of stupidity outweigh. Like, I can't feel bad for him because it's too high.
Right.
Like, just to count the number of things that have gone wrong in the execution of your plan. One, there's a stripper involved.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you sent the video to the stripper. It's just there's so many things wrong with this that I can't. You got to outweigh stupidity. Feel bad. Stupidity. No, stupidity. Like, it is just tipped. Just way too heavy in that end.
And that's one where, you know, we're talking about someone's life here, but you just wonder, like, how did that meeting go today? Like, I mean, he resigned, whether he was, hey, look, save whatever face you have left, you can resign, whatever. But just that conversation, like, is it really? Really? Is this what you're doing? I mean, I don't know.
Okay.
Or is it yelling? Is it just get out?
So here's
what is it?
I wonder if the meeting went like this. Dude. Why did you send the video to a stripper?
Uh-huh.
Because do you think I think I know you guys well enough to know if you're partaking in something as noticeable as cocaine use.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I could be entirely wrong. You could live an entirely different life that I don't know about. But the way these football coaches and as much time as they spend together, do you think that they knew? And if they did it matter to them? Now, it's entirely different when you record yourself, and not to mention all of the vulgar things he was saying to the stripper as he was doing, you know, his fun in the video.
Yeah. Well, that begs the question, though, if you don't know as an organization. Both sides. One, if you do know and you didn't care, that's saying something. And if you didn't know, you know, not how could you not, but what... It's just on the list of things that right now, I mean, this is getting a lot of run, understandably, because it is a different and amusing story. Miami's got a lot of issues.
They got so many.
This isn't that. I mean, the other stuff is more offensive,
look,
what they're doing.
Yeah, Jay Cutler.
Their play on the field.
Jay Cutler dressing up as a quarterback every Sunday is more offensive to me than this. But you mentioned the guy's livelihood. This is the NFL, Jason.
Yeah.
This guy's going to have another job. I mean, I know
think
he's.
So?
Yes. Yes.
Really? This one?
The NFL. Jerry. So I tweeted about this last night. Jerry Jones, don't you dare sit, raise a fist, kneel for the national anthem. Coke use, that's no problem here
right.
in Dallas. Beat the hell out of your woman, no problem. We're okay. You stab a teammate in the neck because he wouldn't get out of the barber chair, no problem. We'll put you in the Ring of Honor. Kill your teammate with a DUI. All good. Come on back. But you're going to stand for that national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way the NFL is. You stand for the national anthem, you're just fine. You're okay. You don't, you're in trouble. Cocaine? Nah, we can look past that. This guy will be employed again. I'm assuming he's good at his job. If he's not good
at his
job, then that's... Yeah, you're right, right. And maybe I'm giving him too much credit. I just questioned his intelligence in this scenario, but that'll booty will make you do some crazy things. Good tweet here from Chris Valdez. When has the words smart and cocaine ever been linked together? All right, fair point. And you're right. What's going on the field for the Miami Dolphins is significantly more offensive.
Yeah.
Particularly the play of your boy, Jay Cutler, mm-hmm. who is still retired.
Yeah.
Adam Gase, but he knows the system. Oh, my gosh. If this is Adam Gase's system. Yikes.
Maybe he should be mic'd up so he can get ready for the next, you know, when it does happen, he's in the booth. He'll just do it, call the game from the field. See what he's saying.
He might do it with more enthusiasm.
Might.
You know what's good for him? You know in what may have actually worked out is he was going to be the third guy in the booth, Jay Cutler, mm-hmm. if he had, you know, literally stayed retired instead of only being figuratively retired. He wouldn't have gotten the shine that Romo was gotten.
Right.
But they would have been compared to each other. And Romo, by all accounts, unless you're cranky-ass racist Brent Musburger, is killing it.
Yeah.
And Jay Cutler, you go back to being compared to another quarterback at that point.
Great. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's great for Charles Davis because I think he was going to be with him. And Charles is really good.
Charles is underrated.
Yes, I totally agree. And so if he would have been with him, Charles would have let him shine, I'm sure, because that's who Charles is. But Charles is really good on his own. He doesn't need him.
I mentioned before we went to break, Jason, things that you got right. You were really hesitant to jump on the bandwagon of the Jacksonville Jaguars again.
Mm-hmm.
But you said you'd do it. And I think there's just enough there that you should be confident in that bandwagon. The Jacksonville Jaguars forced 13 turnovers last season. They forced 14
wow.
already this yeah. year.
And they've got a running game. Bortles isn't good. That's not helping, but... I'm still sticking with the show that you and I and Doug did together, I think, when we had Chris Landry on, and I asked him who was the best team with the worst quarterback. You know, so a team that's still good, but if they had better quarterback play, they'd be great. He said Jacksonville, and I thought, okay, well, so there's talent across the board. Quarterback play is usually how we evaluate all these teams, and theirs is subpar. But even with a subpar Blake Bortles, they're doing okay.
There's way too many Dolphins jokes coming in on the text line
right now.
Overreaction, the Eagles are the class of the NFC. The class. There's the Eagles, and then there's the Packers, then there's whoever else we mentioned earlier.
I feel like it is, but I don't think it's a crazy statement. So maybe a little bit of an overreact, just small.
I really like them. I'm going to overreact to them until they put on like a couple consecutive bad performances.
Yeah, but if they kind of back to your scenario you painted maybe last segment, they're in a game against the Packers. Don't you feel like Aaron Rodgers finds a way?
I'm always going to feel like Aaron Rodgers finds a way.
And that's nothing against Wentz.
You could make it the Patriots. Like, yeah. Who has the ball last, Brady or Rodgers? Right. Is it Rodgers? Okay, Rodgers is going to win.
Yeah.
Cam is back. MVP form.
Not MVP form, but he might be getting closer to being back. The team is doing some nice things, though.
Yeah.
Got to consider that.
You can add that to the very long list of things I got wrong. They're good.
Yeah.
They're good. They're significantly better than I thought they were, at least through the point of the season that we are. He's completed 26 of 33 passes this past weekend for 355 yards. It's his second straight game. First one was against New England, by the way. That he's thrown for 300 yards.
Yeah, this is a good win for them. I thought Detroit was going to do it again. I'm like, oh, they're done. Oh, they're coming back. Yep. Are they going to do this again? But nope, didn't happen.
It's 2:40 time to celebrate the one-year anniversary of the Golden One Center. Great events now through October 15th, including Kings Fan Fest. Get details at goldenonecenter.com/anniversary. We'll come back, wrap up. Hey, Marty from Philly, we got some news regarding your boy. Wow, Joel Embiid is getting paid. We'll explain next.
You can't wait for this day to be over.
I cannot wait. This is your worst day behind the board than that it is.
Me?
Yes.
Me?
This is awful. You just took the cocaine jokes and ran with them.
That doesn't sound like Chris.
Oh, man. Christopher. Hey, LeBron James says he supports the new All-Star Game format. He said we had to do something. It's been pretty bad the last couple of years. So, just to be clear... But the honestly, games have been bad because of the format?
Yeah,
not because
say,
y'all weren't playing?
Why would the game be any different? I mean, now LeBron could be a teammate of... I mean, what's going to be different about that? The picking of the teams is different. Okay. But is anybody guarding anybody? Are they going to try to score 200 and have a bunch of highlights? They probably are. It's a showcase.
Yeah, I'm going to be upset if they don't score 200. Like, yeah. It's time. You were so close 2 years ago. You were close last year. Just do it.
Yeah.
What are you guys doing?
It would be far more egregious if they... like went for it and played and someone got hurt.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Then it would be like, do we cancel the game? You know,
do you want a game where someone scores 200 or a game where they score 70?
Yeah.
What if, you know, because LeBron is spiteful, mm-hmm. fair. What if he goes to the guy and say, dude, let's run the clock. Let's run every shot clock. We'll shoot
one shot. Yeah. One shot. Running plays.
Every shot yeah. clock, running play down to like 22, mm-hmm. and we get like a 76. We get a San Antonio Spurs type of ball game.
All long two-pointers. Just the worst shot in basketball. Just take long twos the whole
Foot
game.
Put on the line
yeah.
every freaking time.
Yep.
No dunks, all layups.
No, yeah.
All layups.
Precision.
Oh, my yeah. gosh. The 76ers, the Philadelphia 76ers, and Joel Embiid have agreed to a 5-year, $148 million max extension.
I think I would have waited. No? He's worth that if he's healthy.
I agree.
And I
mean, he's worth that in personality alone.
He is.
My guess is they're not paying him for personality.
No.
I'm assuming. I don't know for a fact. He has a $148 million personality.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I feel like they could have waited also.
Just a little bit, but that's all right. Whatever.
They didn't. But it's done. It's out
there. Good for them. He's there. He's locked and loaded.
Chris had a great line during the commercial break. Can you imagine Greg Oden getting the news that Joel? Now, to be fair, Greg Oden did get a second contract.
Yeah.
He didn't get the hunt. He didn't get the max contract there, but he did get a pretty comfy contract. Let's. I got two more overreactions for you.
Okay.
Alex Smith will win the MVP.
Overreaction. But he's right now. I would say the favorite. But I don't
Deshaun Watson will win the MVP.
That's an overreaction. Because last night, by the way, he ended up having a great game. We were, you know, the Kings were on, watching that, following that. That game was on. I said, oh, my gosh. Deshaun Watson has thrown for 32 yards. And it was maybe in the third or late second. And then he went nuts and had, I mean, he had five. He still didn't throw for a ton of yards. But, hey, he had a good game. But for a while, it wasn't good at all. But, yes, that is an overreaction.
Deshaun Watson will win Rookie of the Year.
Not an overreaction.
No, it's not, but I do want to point out Leonard Fournette's really good. Mm-hmm. And there's this guy in Kansas City. He's not bad.
Yeah, that guy's working out as well.
Not bad at all. You know, remember the first time he touched the ball as a pro?
Yeah.
That's their only turnover.
That still is.
The entire year, they turned over the ball on their very first possession of the season.
On the road in New England, that could have buried him.
Have not turned the ball over since. No.
Well, there's something to be said about managing the game.
And
mistake-free football.
Don't you dare. I see what you did there, and you're not going to slide that one past me.
Yeah.
You be nice to Alex Smith. I'm going to get you an Alex Smith. I'm not going to get you a jersey because that's just weird, but I'm going to get you a really cool Alex Smith T-shirt. I heart Alex Smith.
Will I be able to wear it after January?
Probably not. You probably get some good use out of it.
Is that a September to December shirt?
January.
Not February.
New Year's Day. Probably retire it and we change calendar year.
Okay.
Let's see. What do we got tonight? We got the debut of Mitchell Trubisky from North Carolina at quarterback. Tough first run against the Minnesota Vikings, though.
Yeah. We didn't love the roster to begin with, right? So I don't know that, you know, changing quarterbacks is the end-all be-all for them. I think it's going to be a tough night for him. Usually it is for rookies in their first start. Minnesota is an exceptional defense. I think he's going to have a tough time. But I get the decision. I don't really have a problem with the decision.
Oh, I don't either.
I have a problem with the couple of months of decisions, doing what they did to get Glennon, the trade to move up to get Trubisky, all of where they are now. But once they got there, moving him in, I don't have a problem with that. I just think it's going to be a tough debut. But might be the right choice.
But okay, fair. But let's go to the other side of the ball for Minnesota. What are they going to do?
Latavius Murray hopefully does enough. They've got some good receivers. Case Keenum played better last week.
Putting the hopes of the Minnesota Vikings on Latavius Murray.
No, I'm putting it on their defense still to win the game. And Murray run a little bit.
All right.
Kick four field goals and win 12-6.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Well, at least the Kings play tonight. And it is on TV, folks.
Yes.
Of course, you should listen here on the radio because you'll get an extra dose of Jay Ross coming up at 6:30 with Kings Live from the Golden One Center. And then the Trailblazers are in town. Again, that is at the Golden One Center. The game will be on tonight. I assume that is on NBC CSN starting at 7 o'clock. I haven't actually, I watched far too much preseason basketball. I watched Cleveland and Washington yesterday morning. I watched a couple of games throughout the weekend, but I saw maybe 5 to 10 minutes of Portland play in the middle of last week. I haven't watched them much at all.
Yeah. And obviously they're still based on the great backcourt, but, and Portland always seems to get into that top eight. I'm never really truly impressed by their roster top to bottom, but the backcourt is really good. It's as good as any in the league. So, that'll be, you know, who's playing tonight, how much. The guys that didn't play last night, I think, included, Mason, Papianis, Malachi, and Justin Jackson. I'd assume they jump into the mix a little bit more tonight. Maybe some others sit out. But I know the veterans sat Friday. It's all about just getting more looks at some of these guys and getting some better idea for Coach Yeager and the staff.
Hopefully it's better than last night.
It's got to be. If it's worse, I don't want to see it.
If nothing else, please make it a better watch than last night.
Yeah. Yeah, because the game against the Spurs, the first one here, and even the Friday one, didn't necessarily feel like it was preseason. I mean, you knew it was, but it, all right, you know, this looks like something we're going to see. And then last night was just bad on both parts. Lakers were better, but not much.
First one here was a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah, it was. It was entertaining.
That was fun. Last night, not so much.
Nope.
Last night was not fun. Tonight will be the last preseason game at the Golden 1 Center. They'll wrap up the preseason against the Golden State Warriors coming up on Friday.
Yeah, another back-to-back.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, preseason back-to-back, that's crazy. But they'll be done with that, and then cuts and things like that have to be decided, and then they'll give it a go and play starting Wednesday for real.
Amazing. One week from Wednesday.
Yeah.
The NBA season is here. All right, we're going to spend an extra couple of minutes with you as the crew will be doing the show live from the Golden 1 Center beginning somewhere around 3 o'clock. Who knows exactly when the show is going to start. I feel like there might be a couple of games that we missed on, Jason, here. See,
Well, yeah, I know one we didn't get into that much.
Okay.
And I thought it was by design. I don't want to bring it up here at the end. But
yeah, I guess we didn't really get into that game, did we?
Let's talk about that.
That's the only game we didn't touch on. No, it wasn't by design. We mentioned that the Packers beat the Cowboys. I feel like, can you pull up the tape from the playoff game last year?
Yeah.
Because this was a mirror image of that.
Cowboys played well. I mean, they shouldn't hang their head on that. It's funny, I heard a couple people say this, and it's an easy, natural reaction. They did leave too much time. What's the right protocol there?
Well,
they're trying to score.
I mean, that's the thing. That's the conversation I was having with someone, is it's not like they were down two, right, to where they could, you know, Dak could have fallen at the one.
Yeah,
and then if they got in, great. If they didn't, they have the option of kicking the field goal.
Yeah.
But you can't take – you have to get in the end zone.
Yeah.
Like, you have to score the points. Because what if he does go down and then you get a false start?
Well, yeah,
or a holding penalty there on the
fumbled
one. And suddenly,
snap, something.
Suddenly you got first and goal at the 11
mm-hmm.
or first and goal at the 6.
Yeah.
And you're dealing with a whole different entire set of issues now.
Yeah, and the other thing that – and this has gone on for years upon years upon years in football, and I don't understand it. I love it as a fan to watch it. Not when it goes against your team, but the sense of urgency when athletes have it, you know, an end of a game, like, man, that guy never misses that shot, or they're down 10. How do they make that rally when all the rest of the part of the game, they didn't look sharp? There's Rodgers, who was good in the game, but I felt that you said you left. You weren't going to watch it because you knew the Packers were going to do it. Why can that happen so easily at the end of games for quarterbacks where they might throw for 150 all game. The final drive, they can throw for 80 and make every pass is perfect. And they get out of bounds. They even no timeouts, three timeouts, it doesn't matter. They can move the ball, whether it's the defense changing a little bit. But it always happens.
Yeah,
it just always says it, like, and you can't manufacture that sense of urgency, but why don't you start the game like that? Why don't you end the half like that? Why don't you
second
quarter play like that?
I think everybody's playing differently. Everyone's mind. I think the defenses are different in those sets of circumstances also. And they're playing on their heels. Like, you hear that term all the mm-hmm. time. They're playing on their heels because they're constant. They're playing, moving back.
Yeah.
And they know.
We don't want to give up the big play.
Not just that, but they know what happened to them in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They know what Aaron Rodgers can do. They knew the second that defense and Rob Marinelli knew the second Dak Prescott scored. Man, there's a lot of time left.
Yeah.
And they have a timeout.
So, yeah, and you didn't see the end, right?
I saw it.
Okay, I was going to say, did you see the final play?
I did see the final play, yeah.
That was kind of funny because the guy that eventually got it for Green Bay, like when all the laterals and,
mm-hmm.
like, he just like, okay, it's over, and he was just walking.
And he wasn't touched.
Like, it's live ball.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, wouldn't it be something if something else still, and then it just kind of broke up. But he was just like, I got it, so now it's over, and he was just walking with it.
Yeah, I noticed that as well. The whistle didn't blow.
No.
I'm thinking they're talking as if the game is over, but the whistle hasn't blown.
And then the Cowboy guy
got it. Snatches it from him, yeah. But it's nothing for Dallas. The reason you feel bad about it, if you're a Cowboy player, or I guess a fan, is that it was a mirror image of the divisional round game last year.
Yeah.
Like, it happened. You had a great performance from your quarterback. You got enough from Zeke. You had to rely, again, on your defense to stop one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and they failed.
Yeah. I mean, what you like is that your quarterback, who after having a lead, they lost the lead, went down the field, showed that he can move the ball and get him in position to win the game, and they were ahead. Defense couldn't stop him. But, you know, at 2-3, and the Raiders are 2-3, who's better off at this moment going forward?
I think the Cowboys are. Because I think, one, their starting quarterback is healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care if Derek Carr plays in, you know, next week or not. He's not going to be 100%. And assuming he stays healthy. By the way, if you're a Raider fan, I would be very nervous about Derek Carr coming back to play next week, because Tony Romo, right? We're talking about your back. Better yet, let's just focus on an injury, a reoccurring injury. Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah,
Odell Beckham Jr. has been playing hurt on that ankle since week one of the preseason. Now he sat. I guess it would amount to five weeks. Said it was I think he somewhere around an 8-week injury. Came back early, aggravated it twice last week, and then dealt with it, and then suffered what will ultimately be the catastrophic injury that ends his season yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm Raider fans, I'm not rushing him to come back. You got the Chargers this week. Your defense is going to have to start doing something for you. But and so are your receivers. You know, we mentioned it was great that Crabtree was back. They basically ignored Amari Cooper. Jared Cook was an acquisition that was supposed to matter. And he was the too many drops, and he was the one who fumbled the on one of those plays to start the game. You have to help out your starting quarterback, but you really have to help out your backup quarterback. And they're not getting that either. So, I mean, that's the biggest reason I think the Cowboys are in better shape. I also think they're just – neither one of them are good defensively. Both of them are very, very bad when it comes to the secondary. But I think the Cowboys are just a smidge bit better.
Yeah, and the other thing I think that helps them, though, even though Philly's 4-1, it's not a 5-0 like the Chiefs that are looking like the best team. I mean, the gap's getting larger every week for the Raiders and the Chiefs.
And I don't think – I don't think Dallas can beat Philly right now. Like, I don't know when their first matchup is. I should look that up. But if they play within the next 2 weeks against each other, I don't think they have a chance, because they're reeling. The Cowboys are reeling now, right? Like, they're 2-3. They're behind. Jason Garrett did a press conference, and guess what they were asking him about? They weren't asking him about Aaron Rodgers. They were asking him about his dumbass owner.
Right.
And his remarks. So now they're distracted. Now you got the Ben Roethlisberger distraction. You got the Antonio Brown flipping Gatorades, and you got Jerry Jones running his mouth about the national anthem again. And now you got players thinking, because now these players, they got friends.
Right.
They got family. Like, hey, man. And some of them might be a little too woke for their own good. And they're going to go to some of these players saying, hey, you for real? You're not going to raise a fist or take a knee or take a seat? And I would just love for someone, not because I you know, unless you're Eric Reed, the original anthem demonstrations have been lost.
Yeah.
But I just want to see a Cowboy like the caliber of Dak Prescott or Ezekiel Elliott, or a combination of those two. Because Jason Witten, I know, won't do it. Dez Bryant. Take a knee. Raise a fist. Mm-hmm. Sit. Say, oh, you going to sit
Jerry
me?
Says.
Because he can sit him, but they're not in violation of their contract or the collective bargaining agreement. So they'd have to pay him. So you're going to pay. You're essentially going. You're going to do the Cam Newton didn't wear a tie on the bus style of suspension. All right, cool. I would challenge him on it. But I think he knows enough from his play. Again, Dak's a first-year player. Dak's a second-year player.
Yeah, and did you see, by the way, what they've got coming up? Dallas Cowboys. You know, it's bye week this week. After that, then it's brutal for the Dallas Cowboys. They're upcoming kind of the next few weeks. So you know they're off this week. Then they're at San Francisco. So that's where you feel like you can get right again. Then at Washington versus Kansas City, at Atlanta, and then Philadelphia.
Mm.
And they got some. But you also, if you win a couple of those, we'll be thinking entirely differently
right.
about them.
Right.
I mean,
right.
As much as we look at the schedule and say, well, those are all tough. Yeah.
I still think they're good. I question, if you're wondering why we're still on, don't worry, so are we. Grant and Doug are doing their show from the Golden One Center, and they're in mid-season form in terms of not being able to start that show on time. So as soon as all of the equipment is up and running there at the Golden One Center, we will get you out there. Kings basketball coming up at 7 o'clock. A second dose of Jay Ross with the high flyer Henry Turner coming up with Kings Live at 6:30. I'm significantly more confident in the Cowboys moving forward than the Raiders, because I think, you know, the Cowboys lost to the Packers, right? And then you have the Raiders, who you're picking apart so many different things with them. Amari Cooper, is he going to come back? Is he coming back to life at any point here soon? The secondary. Now, you could pose the question about the secondary, but the biggest issue is Derek Carr moving forward as the quarterback. Is he going to be healthy enough to be as good as he was last year? Which, the reason they were so successful last year was because of Derek Carr.
He was in the MVP race.
Absolutely.
And people thought he could be in that again this year. Had a good first couple of weeks. The last couple haven't been. Obviously got hurt. And I do think he's going to play. Don't you think he's playing this week? I mean, I do. But at what level is he? What percentage is he? Because if he was lightly practicing last week, I think he plays this week. I really do.
You said this earlier. Would the result of yesterday's game have been different if he was playing?
It's hard to tell. I don't know. Not the way they played.
Okay, I'll ask the same question in a different way. Is it EJ Manuel's fault that they lost yesterday?
No, not his fault, no.
They're going to need some type of performance from their defense. And until they get that, unless Derek Carr, you know, I used the term midseason form a second ago, if Derek Carr goes back to midseason form and he can throw them into the 40s, or high 30s,
yeah, point wise,
then fine.
Yeah.
Then you can afford to have a shady defense, which is part of the reason that I believe still in Dallas, is because I believe Dak and Zeke can do that. I thought the combination of running backs that the Raiders have would be able to do that, but they're still, again, you talk about question marks regarding a team, that offensive line.
Yeah.
Where you at? What happened? Did y'all lose somebody? I know the Cowboys lost some members of their offensive line. Did the Raiders? Did I miss it? Because
right.
I don't think that they did. So it's just such a, I don't know. Can we step out? I feel like I'm just sitting here like rambling. We're stalling for time. If you can't tell, is that all right, boss? Can we go to break? We'll step out. They're getting things reset there at the Golden One Center. Grant and Doug might be with you when we get back. If not, we'll be with you a few more minutes until we can get them all set up at Sports 1140.